The following is a production of Art Trap Productions, brought to you by the Gallifreyan Embassy and has been made possible by supporting subscribers and donations from listeners like you. Live from the newly founded Fish Sticks and Custard Factory. No, actually, it's live from Icon 29, almost, in Stony Brook, New York. It's Doctor Who Podshock.
Doctor Who Podshock.
Okay, well, let's do it.
No, I...
whatever it is, if it's valuable, send it to us.
For the best in all things Doctor Who, it's Doctor Who Podshock, the podcast all about Doctor Who, the longest-running science fiction television program, with Louis Trapani.
Hello.
Ken Deep.
Hello.
James Norton.
Hello.
News.
Fabulous.
Reviews.
Oh, no.
And fan mail for James.
40,000.
Doctor Who Podshock from the Gallifreyan Embassy.
You know, that guy James was really cool. Oh, yeah, we blew that.
I'm the Doctor, and who are you?
Celebrating 25 years, the Gallifreyan Embassy presents Doctor Who Podshock, episode 189. This is Louis Trapani, and you'll be hearing from Ken Deep in just a moment. And James Norton was supposed to be here and would have been here, and he was trying to be here, but internet problems prevented that, and I'll get to that in a moment. As I record this, it's after the 11th hour. Hey, usually when I record these things, it's after the 11th hour. But I mean, it's after the 11th hour has been transmitted on BBC One. And no spoilers here. No spoilers here. So fear not. All I will say is, wow. Fantastic. It's, yeah. So to hear more about that, we're going to be doing a live show over the net reviewing the 11th hour. That's the first episode with Matt Smith. It's series 31, or the series 1 with Matt Smith, and it's taking place as usual on TalkShoe on Sunday. We usually do these live review shows the day after the new episodes go out, so this show is no different. Unfortunately, it does fall on a holiday for some people, so that's a factor, and because of that, we're starting a little bit earlier, so it's 4:30 Eastern Daylight Time in the U.S. as opposed to 5, and again, you can find out more information about that. It's on TalkShoe. Go to our website, thegallifreyanembassy.org or podshock.net. Now, we are limiting it to 1 hour, so it's 1 hour to review the 11th hour, so get into the queue early. Podshock supporting subscribers will be giving preference in the queue, so if you are a Podshock supporting subscriber, please let us know that you're in the queue, and we'll bump you up. And if you can't make it into the show within the hour time allowed, then, of course, you're always welcome to send us feedback at feedback@podshock.net. Audio feedback is preferred since this is a audio podcast. Now, even if you don't plan on joining us as far as talking on the show, you still can participate on the live show because there is a chat session that goes on during these live shows. And again, you can find out more about that by going to TalkShoe.com or just go to our website, GallifreyanEmbassy.org or Podshock.net, and you'll find information about TalkShoe and links directly to our page on TalkShoe and how to sign up for them. It's a free service, so you can just sign up, and this way we know if you're in the queue and you want to participate. Once again, we'll be reviewing the 11th hour on Sunday, the 4th of April, at 4:30 p.m. The live review episodes that we do after this, live over the net that is, should go back to our usual time at 5 p.m., so the episodes that follow this one should be back on schedule for that time. So what did you think of the 11th hour, if you've seen it already? And if you haven't seen it already, well, it's coming on BBC America on the 17th. That's Saturday the 17th. And so you may want to hold on to not this episode right now that you're listening to, but our review episodes until then. This episode of Doctor Who Podshock, number 189, is our live show from Icon 29, or at least it was supposed to be our live show from Icon 29. We ran into some technical problems there as far as the internet goes at the university, where we're promised full internet, and it's not really the fault of the convention itself. It was just that once we did get online onto the internet, it was not a full connection. To make a long story short, we basically couldn't get around the firewalls that were established there, and therefore We were unable to get James Norton, our co-host, on board, nor could we get our guest that we had scheduled for that show, which was Tony Lee, who is also along with James in the UK. So they were both blocked from when, and we were actually blocked from getting onto Skype and getting them on board there. So apologies to both of them. We are going to do something with Tony Lee in the future. We promised him that, and our apologies go to Tony Lee. I appreciate his patience and diligence. He took some time out of his busy schedule to be with us, and unfortunately, due to problems beyond our control, we were unable to get him on board. We have done live shows at ICON before. We were there previous years. In those years, we were in a different room, actually a different building altogether. It's a big university there with different internet connections there, so it was a new room, a new year, and I think they've done some changes to their internet as far as firewalls go. So, as I said, we had done them in previous years without problems. We did have with us, live in person, was Sarah Douglas. Now, you may remember Sarah Douglas as Ursa from Krypton in the Superman movies, Superman, the original Superman 1978 film, as well as Superman 2 in 1981. But you may not know of her role in Doctor Who with Matt Smith. This episode is made possible in part by our Podshock supporting subscribers. Our supporting subscribers make a huge difference in bringing this show to you on a regular basis. If you're not already a Podshock supporting subscriber, now is the time to support this podcast and get some extra content as well. Now that Gallifrey 21 and Icon 29 are both behind us, we'll be getting some more extra shows out there to you. When you become a supporting subscriber, you will have access to extra special shows, or special extra shows, I should say, but there are extra special as well. Episodes made just for supporting subscribers, discount offers, giveaways, we just gave away a Blu-ray disc, and other special benefits. There's no huge investment up front, only for a small, simple monthly supporting fee. It will make you feel better knowing that you are supporting a show that you love and help ensure that it can continue and grow. Go to GallifreyanEmbassy.org or Podshock.net and click on the banner to become a Podshock supporting subscriber and sign up there. So now we're going to take you to Icon 29 in Stony Brook, New York for our live show. Unfortunately, I could not participate in the live show myself because I was trying to remedy the problems that we were having with the internet. In fact, we had about a half a dozen people that had come on board to help out with the problem, you know, that were there, staff with the convention there, the technical crew there, and we couldn't overcome basically ports that were blocked, and we were unable to bring our guests and our co-host James to the show. So unfortunately, that was the situation, and I was busy trying to remedy that along with the other folks there. And luckily, Ken Deep was there and took over the show, and Sarah Douglas, our in-person guest, was there, and she was wonderful. So let's go back to Icon 29, which was last week as I record this, at SUNY Stony Brook in Stony Brook, New York.
Doctor Who Podchuck live at Icon 29, SUNY Stony Brook, in the beautiful Stony Brook University, Long Island, New York, USA. This is Doctor Who Podchuck. My name is Ken Deep, alongside Mr. Louis Trapani, who is extremely busy right now scurrying about, and unfortunately not on the other end, James Norton, our co-host, or Tony Lee, our virtual guest today. But what I do have, and because everybody's gathered in the room and we're feverishly switching things around to make things happen, I'm going to actually ask my special guest to join me up front. She's saying no. No? Yes, she is. Come along. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Sarah Douglas. There's a Doctor Who reason why you are here, because everybody's going to say, oh no, he's going to talk about Superman 2. You have Doctor Who connections in a way that we're hoping brings you into the show at some point, and hopefully not as the evil witch or the person who is
the dastardly character.
It's true. I'm not exactly sure how much I have a Doctor Who connection, but I've just done the first of the interactive standalone Doctor Who stories that will be... I'm talking like this because I don't actually know what the hell I did. You better explain what I...
Okay, I'll scroll down.
In... After Doctor Who in Britain, they have the interactive adventure, the red button adventure, where it's an interactive game. They did this with Attack of the Grask a few years ago, and I think this one might be an animated thing, because that was a live action thing, but this one you said you just lent your voice to.
I lent my voice, and I'm doing two. They're doing four of them. And the BBC, and this is going to be, I mean, it's not going to cost anybody anything, which is what they're excited about. And I've done the first episode, which will be aired. I only did it last week, so this is hot. No, it hasn't been
hot off the press.
So this is hot off the press. I've just done it. Unfortunately, I haven't yet met, what's his name, have you dropped the hook?
Matt Smith.
So hopefully next week when I go back to England, I will meet him because I will do another episode. But this will be shown immediately after Doctor Who. And they tell me, I can't believe it, it's airing at Easter. It's going to be after the first airing on Easter.
So the first red button episode will be right after the 11th hour, which is Matt Smith's first episode.
That's what I'm told. Whether I'm right, whether they're right, I don't, because it seems very quick because it was last week. But I guess if it's animated and they've done it, then perhaps that's why.
So do you think perhaps you recorded something that whatever character you're playing animated-wise was kind of ready and they're just maybe making the mouth movements based on your voice?
I think so.
Did you record with anybody else when you were doing the session?
No, it was just me because I had to fit it in with other commitments. But I'm hoping that the next one there'll be more of us.
In particular, the new doctor.
In particular, the new doctor.
Can I ask you to promise me that you'll snap a picture with him?
I was ready. I went with my camera. I was ready for it because I have every single one of my friends is a Doctor Who fan. And I'm sorry, I'm being dragged into it and I'm starting to really get it, guys. I'm beginning to really understand why you're all so hooked on it. And in fact, on the plane coming over, I had, thank goodness, I was able to sit and watch all the episodes that were on at Christmas, the final.
So on the airline, they had a few of those on-demand things.
Absolutely.
And you sat and watched the
episodes. I sat and watched
John Sim and David Tennant.
It was brilliant. I come from Stratford-on-Avon, and I was talking yesterday about David Tennant, you know. Stratford-on-Avon is obviously Shakespeare's home, but how brilliant, David Tennant and Patrick Stewart, to go and see Hamlet. I see Shakespeare all the time because that's what you do when you come from Stratford-on-Avon. But the kids were turning up. We'd never seen anything like it at Stratford. Like my mother said, why has everybody got the same scarf on? She said, what's going on here? And they were filling the theatre every single night. And it was extraordinary because he was... David and Patrick, I mean, obviously they were getting a double whammy there, but they've really made... They've made a terrific difference. We had inner school kids that had never been to the theatre, let alone seen Shakespeare, were turning up, and he was, of course, I mean, Tennant's a fabulous actor, and I've seen him before at Stratford, but the combination of the two of them. So that's a little claim to fame, and the only other remote claim to fame I have is John... No, I have to say John Pertwee, who I just many moons ago... But I did a wonderful theatre. I went on tour with John Pertwee, and again, we were pursued by people with long scarves. And that was... And I did a thing called Don't Just Lie There, Say Something, which was Don't Even Ask. It was a farce. It was a farce. It really was a farce. But he was an absolute delight and a gent. So, I'm excited about the new one. And I'm going to... I promise this time, I'm getting it now. I'm getting it.
Well, first off, doing the Red Button special instantly adds you to the Doctor Who lore. So don't think that you are outside of that, because first off, every Doctor Who fan knows who you are and knows your history with sci-fi and fantasy. Your credentials are solid.
Thank you. Well, I just want to get my foot through that door because I need to be in Doctor Who. You know, I'll be the tea lady. Funny, I don't mind. I would just adore that.
So you're doing the Red Button special, but you're I think you're not telling the full truth because you have been in Big Finish Doctor Who.
Does that count?
It does count. Oh, it says the word Doctor Who on the cover, so that counts in my book.
It does count.
But you were in Doctor Who Unbound. You did a story called Masters of War, which was a Dalek episode. So you got to battle the Daleks in that.
I did.
Which is again.
And that was so much fun because the guy comes in, and again the voice, hearing the voice. I mean, hearing him doing it. You know, they do whatever they do to make it all sound funky and wonderful.
Was the whole cast there when you did it?
Absolutely.
It was with David Warner.
Yes, the full cast.
You explained was, you know, is someone an actor of very high standing.
Absolutely.
And another man whose sci-fi credentials are rock solid. In addition to every other kind of credential you could possibly have with your David Warner.
Yeah.
And then you had, in that episode, Nicholas Courtney.
Yes, indeed.
Played the Brigadier, reprised the role as the Brigadier in that episode. Yeah. So you, again, someone who Doctor Who credentials
this is
good. And Nick Briggs did the voice of the Daleks in that episode. Do you remember who directed that? Was it Gary Russell?
Oh!
On that one?
It was. I'm not certain because I've done so many things. I'm not certain. I'm sorry.
But I know Gary Russell directed this.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you remember the name of the red button one? Did they have a name to it, or is it it's a tightly kept secret?
I'm not really supposed to be talking about it. I did it last week. They haven't announced it yet. You've just needled it out of me.
They've announced they're going to do a red button.
Oh, thank God for that. Okay. Well, I'm rather excited because I've never been called a red button special, but I am now.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We'll see, won't we? But it's great. I mean, I didn't even understand that such things existed. So, and it's a good as I said, it's a good standalone story. And I'm not telling you anything about my character, so don't even ask. So that's that.
Well, that goes to that question. Now let's go back to the Big Finish then. You battled the Daleks. You were with David Warner and Nicholas Courtney, and the whole cast was there. The Daleks in Britain are iconic.
Absolutely. And I was brought up. I mean, that was my... You know, it's taken me a while to get... I was heavily into, obviously, Doctor Who as a kid and the Daleks. And in fact, I just... My serious claim to fame... Claim to fame? That doesn't sound right. Claim to fame is that my very dearest friend is a guy called Waris Hussein, who directed original Daleks, the original, before the Daleks, the original Doctor Who. And I'm trying to encourage him to come somewhere like this and certainly meet you, because he has so many stories to tell and is fascinating about pre-Daleks and about what it was like. You know, he's an absolute...
In those earliest days.
In those earliest days.
Well, there's actually a bit of a funny story leading into that. We were driving. Met you a few days ago to bring you to the convention. Uh-huh. And you said, my dear friend Waris is a director. And I said, is it Waris Hussein? He said, yes, I think he did one... I'm impersonating you.
Yeah.
I think he did one of your Doctor Who's. And I said, you know, he didn't just do a Doctor Who. He did one of the Doctor Who's. And that it's because of his direction that pilot is a complete masterpiece and launched the show that is now coming up on, 46, 47 years.
But you know something? I do feel that the people that were involved in the early Doctor Who feel that they are something separate from this lot. I mean, I've said to Waris, I said, I know that you would all love to hear him speak. And he's saying,
Well, in case he's listening on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, if Waris Hussein was here right now and we got a chance to talk about The Unearthly Child, would we be interested?
Yes.
I keep saying, and he said the other day, and I finally got him to go. He's going to some Doctor Who convention in May in England somewhere. And of course, I'm not going because I'm in America. And he said, I said, you know, take some stills with you, take something. He said, well, I don't really have any of me. And I said, but I have got some of that first episode. I said, I think they would like to see them. I said, pull them out, you know. It's absolutely...
Because like anybody who's on a job, they have a few personal stills maybe they took on the set. I mean, someone who, maybe he liked William Hartnell or whatever. He was a fan.
Oh, he's got lots of stories about him.
And so when you have someone who you... or looking forward to working with or admire, you might want to take a personal picture or some kind of documentation. So I'm sure in his scrapbook, he has a few things.
Yes, I've told him. I said, get your scrapbook out, pull the pictures out, because it's all relevant. And I have to say, I was kind of scared of you guys because I thought you were all going to be a little bit loopy. And you're not at all. You're all regular people as I meet more and more doctors. And I don't know why. We think that. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, initially, when Doctor Who first started, you know, and I've got such a great fan base, and my fans are Doctor Who fans, and I've started to get to know so many of you. And because of that, I've started to watch the show and thoroughly enjoy it and begin to understand it. Now I just want to be in it. But get in it slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly but surely.
The time will come.
Well,
we have two things we have to get you in. We have to get you in Smallville, apparently, and we have to get you in Doctor Who.
You know what? I can leave Smallville. I'd rather do Doctor Who.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. The new thing. Smallville's been and gone and done, and they're on their last season, and I haven't had a look in. You know, I haven't had a look in. I've tried. I am saying right now, please, Doctor Who, tea lady in the back with a funny head, whatever it takes. I'm game.
Now, one of the reasons that you're here this weekend, and I mentioned it prior to the recording, is that you are starring in Witchville.
That's
which
true.
Is airing on Saturday, May 22nd in the United States on the Sci-Fi Channel, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
And you are playing the Red Queen. Now, you are here because of a mutual friend of ours who is a diehard Doctor Who fan. And again, pardon the people in the crowd who have already heard me say this, but this is for the recording purposes. Amy Krell is our West Coast correspondent. She is a diehard Doctor Who fan.
Oh, she has
title. She has a scarf of her own.
Oh, I know.
And full on. And when I tell you that she's genuine geek, speaks geek fluently, and is the real deal, is one of us. And now she has the opportunity to make a movie in China, a science fiction and fantasy movie, with you as one of the stars. That's something we are proud of. Ron Moore yesterday told at the war dinner how he was at an Icon in 1980, whatever, and when he was in college, and he came here and he heard Star Trek actors speaking and was inspired to go on, and he's become a writer and a producer and all these wonderful things. So now this group of people are coming up through the ranks that grew up watching science fiction, who were influenced by it, and there may have been a time years ago where it was like, people didn't understand what it was all about, and it was sort of that outside thing. Now it's mainstream, it's norm. So, we were growing up watching it. Older brothers and sisters have turned people onto it, or people who just clicked on the television. So now there is this new generation, and Amy is one of those people who have come up and said, I was in the theater watching Superman as a teenager and whatever, and I adore Sarah Douglas, and I'm going to put her in my movie. So now this movie that you're going to be in, You're with Myanna Burning.
Myanna Burning, who also, I believe, did a Doctor Who.
She was in Impossible Planet as Scooty, and met a very not nice...
Not nice end. Fancy that.
But the most wonderful special effects shot, they did a thing with her in water that made her look like she was floating in space.
Wow.
And inventive and brilliant in everything that Doctor Who is that idea of breaking new ground. And so Myanna was in this as well, who is sort of your hench, what do you call a hench woman?
Girl? Yeah, she
psychic?
She's not psychic. She does what she is commanded to do, which is the way I like it. You know, over the years, let's face it, I play the bad guy. You know, and this is yet another major stretch for me because I'm playing an evil wicked witch. I mean, there's not a lot new, except this time I'm doing it in China, and fabulous costumes, and lots of fun, and it's great, so if you get a chance to see it. I have to just say, Amy Krell, I've just seen photographs of her looking exactly like Tom Baker when she was a kid. Now, I am brought up to respect the producer. You know, the producer is the guy or the woman who's totally in charge. I have a whole new respect for her because she actually posted pictures of herself because she's so proud of it, looking just like, because she's got the hair and the whole thing.
Well, she has a big mane of curly hair, and she's got her gigantic scarf and her hat and the coat and the whole
thing.
Standing next to Tom Baker, I might add.
Absolutely.
Who we watched here, a clip of the two of you together on Pebble Mill
yes,
One.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
Having a bit of fun.
Yeah, no, he's got a great sense of humor, that guy. It's about very dry, very, terrific. No, I'm excited. And, the fact that Doctor Who's being shown, I think, on the airways when you fly somewhere is brilliant, that you can actually sit. I mean, it shows the power of the media. I mean, the fact that people want to see it.
It's a worldwide
under demand,
thing.
And it's a worldwide thing.
Absolutely. So Witchville is going to be on Saturday, May 22nd.
May the 27th.
On the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
This is a...
It's a quest. It's a quest movie. It's a lot of swords and sorcery and... I've got all sorts of powers, fancy that, you know. And but it's fun. And one of the reasons I came here was because, you know, I've said this, so if you've heard it before, I apologize. It is brilliant. The Sci-Fi Channel, I know it's great that we've got it there. Some of the shows don't perhaps lack a little bit, and I've been in one or two where the special effects really haven't been up to scratch. And I know that they say, well, there's not a lot of money, and there's not. This proves the point that it can be done. We shot this in 3 weeks in China. It looks fantastic. The costumes are fantastic. The performances are fantastic. The fighting is fantastic. The dialogue's good. It's not. You don't cringe every time you hear a line. It really proves the point, and I think it's upping the game. It's going to up the game for the Sci-Fi Channel because they can do it, and they should be doing better quality work because there's enough talented people out there willing to, whether they're acting or on the other side of the camera, to pull it together and to do it. And Amy alone takes full credit. She's a really fabulous producer, and it's because of her. I did another movie for her. It's because of her I went to China, because it wasn't easy. It was not easy. And it's because of her that I'm here this weekend, and thanks to you looking after me, and that's been great.
Thank you. You had a story about some kind of fried scorpions in China.
Oh, they don't want to hear about my fried scorpions.
I know. We're a Doctor Who podcast, but it was just such a bizarre story.
Well, I just was saying, you know, you're just talking about different cultures, and you don't know. We were in China. We obviously didn't speak Chinese. The Chinese, surprisingly enough, didn't speak English. So most of the time, we had an American crew. We had a lovely, wonderful director called Perry Teo, who's very, very exciting.
And director of which? Classic this. Gene Generation.
Gene Generation, that's right, who I am absolutely in love with. He was from Singapore. It seemed that he forgot his Chinese there, which didn't help matters at all. He was also covered in tattoos, and you do not have tattoos in China. It's completely not done. Taboo. So we were up against it. But the food, you don't get Kung Pao chicken there. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but you get some seriously funky food. And we had fried rat's tails and a lot of donkey. But the best, tastiest treat was the fried scorpion, which, if you were lucky, you would watch the little kids in the street, as I did, go to the manhole cover where the sewers are going, catch the bugs as they're running, scuttling past, get the bugs, put them in a jar, go into the little store behind that had the fryer and everything, and they'd get a few pence for them. And then they would deep fry the scorpions, stick them on a stick, and bring them to us, the actors, sitting outside as a delicacy. It was the guys, of course, all the men were game for it. They all chomped down on the scorpions. I have to say, I was not. I had enough trouble with the chicken. You know, they eat everything there. When you ask for chicken, you get the whole thing. You get the ghoulies and the thises and the thats and the beets and the feet. And it's unbelievable. But no waste. And what a nation. 7 days a week these guys work, and they work very hard, long hours, no lunch breaks. So of course they get a bunch of actors, and we get to 1 o'clock, and we all say, "What about lunch?" And Amy said, Oh, I forgot about lunch. And we said, no, you didn't. Because in China, they don't take breaks. And that's why they're obviously getting to be so powerful. They have a whole different work ethic. It's really scary. I mean, they work and work and work, and they don't stop for breaks, and they get paid very little. So it was, we had quite an adventure doing it. But
one of the things that I noticed when you watch some of the clips we've been showing, clips over the weekend, it's just that the movie has a look to it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, as a Doctor Who fan, that attracted me to Doctor Who early on. As a sci-fi fan growing up, and I was seeing Star Trek, and you'd see the things on TV that were American-made, and they all looked like they were shot in Burbank, and you know, that kind of stuff. When you watch Doctor Who, you saw actors you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
You'd seen sets or locations that looked different. To an American kid, I was like, well, that doesn't look like anything I've seen here. It doesn't look like Battlestar Galactica or Buck Rogers or the things that were on TV in America. It had a different look to it. That's one of the things that really impressed me about seeing you do this thing in China. Because China, of course, has a different look than shooting in Burbank or Vancouver or these other things. It has a look to it. It has a feel to it. The locations look not like the places
it, on TV. It could have been a feature. I mean, it's theatrical. It's got that size. You know, you could watch it on a big screen. The detail and the color and the vibrance of it is fantastic. It's funny you're talking about all this. I did, I don't know if everybody remembers, Space 1999.
Of course.
I love that. 100 years ago, but I mean, talk about, you said it had a look. I'd had a very particular look, but it still got so many fans.
It does. Space 1999 broke a lot of ground for science fiction in that the production value for a show at that time really only had maybe Star Trek prior to it that there was the special effects were groundbreaking, again, for the time. And even to this day when you watch it, certain things become dated because of hairstyles and things like that, right? You know, the costume designer is thinking in that time. But when you watch the special effects and it's not a thing where you're like, oh, look at that. No, it still holds up. The cast was spectacular. The writing, with many Doctor Who crossovers over the years. With writing and with acting, of course. And, I mean, Catherine Shell, of course, was in one of the most popular Doctor Who episodes of all time. Right. And then, of course, when you get into watching things like Doctor Who and you say, Catherine Shell, I know that name. From Space 1999. Oh, my God, she used to be the... And that's part of the discovery of being a fan, is watching your world suddenly get bigger when you realize, Sarah Douglas, I'm watching V, Sarah Douglas, from Superman, and you get very excited, you know?
Do you?
Won't be the first time.
Okay. Sorry, if I turn you... Now he's blushing, isn't he?
Certainly have.
Okay.
You've also, flipping back to taking this all this British sci-fi, you've done a Sapphire and Steel Big Finish, also with David Warner.
Yes, indeed.
And who else was in the cast?
Oh, you think I remember? I can't remember. I've forgotten I'd even done it, so you've remembered that bit. But I remember now because I've got the CD of it.
Yes. Did they send them to you? Did they send you a CD?
I love, I've always loved the radio. Radio is really my medium. I've always enjoyed it, particularly in England where we still get, you know, plays on and we get a lot of good stuff. In fact, we had the first sci-fi week in Radio 4, which is BBC Radio 4 in England. It's not highbrow, but it's not music. It's all our arts and entertainment and stuff. And we had our first sci-fi week, I think it was last year.
July.
Was it last July? And they had to battle to get this. Every afternoon at 2:30 every day, they have an afternoon play. And they had a sci-fi week. And I did two of the radio shows, you know, with those group of actors. And don't ask me, because you know I can't remember the names of the actors that I worked with. Although I know I was in... Oh, Derek Jacobi was one. It was terribly exciting working with Derek Jacobi. But they had a sci-fi week, and they battled for this week because the BBC said there's nobody going to want to listen to sci-fi in the afternoon, but they had terrific ratings. But there hasn't been any more.
Well, of course they had terrific ratings because sci-fi fans are extremely loyal.
Absolutely.
They're going to show up if you put it there and you say, hey, look what we've got for you. We've got this audio thing.
Yeah.
It's a huge misconception that science fiction fans strictly want to watch the movies or television shows. Science fiction fans started as avid readers, which is pure imagination. And to this day, in a year 2010, where everything should be all, you know, the Jetsons, you look around the room and you'll see people holding books, good old-fashioned books.
Absolutely.
For all the things that have gone out of date and become passé because of cell phones and there's no longer pay phones and things like that, or beepers are no longer around, a good old-fashioned book with paper is still being carried around by people here. And audio as a medium.
Love audio.
Big Finish. Figured out this business model that their science fiction fans know that the best special effects are always in the imagination.
Yeah, I did a Big Finish for Stargate as well. So I did an episode of Stargate. I mean, I shot two episodes of Stargate. Yeah, but I did a Big Finish audio for Stargate as well.
So Sapphire, Stargate, and
it's
the
all going back to me slowly but surely. See, I lived through the 70s, and for those of us of a certain age, you'll know what I mean. The brain cells aren't quite what they used to be, if you know what I'm saying. So, but you remember it, so that's good.
Yes.
It's all the haze that time. Yes. Oh, you're blushing again.
Is there a blush cap for kids?
Yeah, there should be.
I'm going to be hash marking behind me on the chalkboard.
Yeah. I just have to say, I really do mean this. You guys are quite extraordinary as fans. The sci-fi fantasy genre. You are so loyal. And to even let me in here today to talk about my little tiny little bit of Doctor Who, I know it's a Doctor Who moment, and I know, but I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate your interest. And I'm sorry, I'm not that, I don't really understand an awful lot of what I do. Mind you, that's, we know that. But I have to be absolutely honest, I know that I'm cast in a lot of these roles because I speak English proper. They've told me in Hollywood, they said, but you have a way of speaking that makes you sound as if you know what you're talking about. So there are quite a few jobs I've done. I know notably, I know in Stargate, I'm still confused with what I was doing because I seem to be two people at once. But I've been cast many times, and I apologize. I'm not sending any of you up by saying that, often I don't quite know what I'm doing. I'm delighted to get the work, and I am trying harder to understand. And I'm finding it quite wonderful that you're all regular folk, and you're all happy to sit down with me and have a drink. Well, you're all very happy to have a drink. What a great group you are. This is it. California too long, where it's the Perrier for me, I know, oh no. But it's great to be able to sit and talk and to understand a little bit more, and I certainly had not, the first job I ever did was a movie, big movie at that time called The Final Programme, which was a Michael Moorcock, and it was the first science fiction thing that I ever got involved in, and I was about 20 years old, and it was a nice, slow, steady progression, and I had no idea that I was going to go down this sort of line, but I'm so pleased because I've got people coming to talk to me that I've known or have been in contact with me since those early days, who've been watching all these funny little funky things. I did do something called Nightfall, which to this day, Isaac Asimov, I still don't understand what I was doing. And obviously you didn't understand either because it went nowhere, the film did.
Well, based on his book, I'm sure that people say, well, the movie's never as good as the book, and that's probably
a textbook example. Yeah, it really was a textbook example. But so I just want to say I thank you for the loyalty and also just because of your tolerance, because it must be very tedious to have Hollywood actors coming along saying, I have no idea what I do. And I sincerely don't mean it flippantly. Sometimes I'm a bit out of my depth with it.
In a week or so, hopefully, you're on your Facebook fan page, there's a picture of you next to Matt Smith. I don't think there'll be anybody who would turn around and say, oh, well, she wasn't really, you're doing the red button thing. It's part of Doctor Who.
I'm thrilled to be there.
People who are involved in Doctor Who in any way, shape, or form are people we love to talk about on the podcast, because this is what it's all about. We're learning things, and as an example, your association with Waris. I mean, those are things that you've given us a few little insights that we probably wouldn't have known. That, as an example, he doesn't understand that people are ready to say, we want to hear from you, we want to talk to you, and those things are wonderful.
And I really want him to hear this so that he can hear the response, because I really know that he doesn't understand. He feels that he's from a different era of Doctor Who. And, of course, I'm saying, but that's the whole point. That's why you all do want to hear from him. And if you get the chance, for goodness sake, do go and listen. He has stories. Oh, he's got the best. And the early days of television and the days before the dark. And Verity, who was the lady?
Verity
Lambert, who, of course, sadly died last year or the year before last year. He's got some great stories. So go, Waris.
Well, hopefully, when we're in L.A., we annually travel to L.A. in February, and you and hopefully Waris will, make a little time.
Yeah, I'm going to try very hard next year to be there, because I'm sick of all my friends leaving England and coming. That's very popular, isn't it?
And by next year, we'll say, everybody's going to be asking about your interactive yarn, Doctor Who and the whatever it's going to turn out to be. But by this time next week, we'll all know about it, because it'll look...
Because you've talked about it, so that's why.
So
hot off the press, hot off the pop shop. Is there such a thing?
Yes, the pop shop. It's the first time I've ever heard that, but that is a great phrase.
It's the first time I've done one. I'm very excited. I don't quite know what I'm doing.
We're just recording. We're having a conversation.
They're having a conversation as well in the background. Is that part of it?
Well, no, we've had a bit of a technical snafu today. That's why things have changed around, and I'm so glad you got here.
It's not a happy conversation. I'm sorry about that.
Because we thought it would only be a few minutes, and we just quickly say, well, you're going to be with Matt Smith. But to learn all this other stuff has been
fantastic.
You
mean I'm padding? I'm padding!
Absolutely not, because... there's so much more depth going on, and these things, like, I wasn't going to ask you about Lars, but you brought it up.
No,
and
that's I'm really keen to get him out there talking about it.
It would be fantastic, too, because the Doctor Who fans would definitely appreciate
good.
It. So,
good.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Sarah
thank
Douglas
you.
For coming in.
Thanks,
Saturday, May 22nd. I think that some of us here on Long Island have a little maybe viewing party or something. We're going to get a group of us together in a place where, you know, perhaps with a bar.
I'm the one with the dead eagle on the head. You'll know me. I've got sort of dead eagle and a... You'll recognize me.
All right. Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Dead eagle on your head. Again, thank you very much for joining us on Doctor Who Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Podshock.net is the website. If anybody would like, I'm sure Lewis has some cards. You can come up and it has all our information on it. As far as subscribing, we have it's a free subscription for our basic episodes, and there is a supporting subscriber link, which everything that we do is done we're a fan podcast made by fans for fans, and so there's a supporting aspect to it as well, kind of like we used to do on public television. Doctor Who fans are familiar with that. And wait a minute, I'm going to plug your book.
I was going to actually ask you about the book.
Anthony had a wonderful...
I'm going to plug your 10 Doctor special.
Like to my $10?
Well, your Podshock $10 special.
Oh, on the supporting...
So we can equally plug each other.
Okay, go ahead.
he mentioned Podshock supporting subscriptions. $5 a month, and I've been a long-time fan of these guys, and they have special episodes that come out for supporting subscribers. So for my birthday, I subscribe to the Podshock supporting subscriber service, and they're $10 special. Wow.
Author bruised his upper arm.
There we go. $10 special covers 25 years of Gallifreyan Embassy history of them recording and talking to Patrick Troughton, John Pertwee, and not only do you hear all cut together everything about all 10 Doctors and Ken, who's fabulous, and James Naughton's fabulous commentary, but there's new material. So if you want to hear a great history about all 10 Doctors, subscribe and get it.
Thank you. I appreciate the plug, and I just wait, it's not coming from me, it's coming from you. Well, Anthony just wrote a book called The Mythological Dimensions of Doctor Who. He's actually not the only author, and it is a collection of essays about the history of mythology and how it relates to Doctor Who. The book comes out in May. They're having a wonderful book release party on Thursday, May 20th. What's the name of the place?
It's called The Way Station in Brooklyn.
The Way Station in Brooklyn, and it has a TARDIS in the bar.
Yes, it does.
A real, just boom, right there.
Yeah.
For some reason, a man owns a bar, and he decides that's what he's going to do. So, and then also... I've been upstaged by voicemail. Sylvester
is the voicemail, right?
On Sunday, May 16th, Sylvester McCoy is doing a one-night appearance in Manhattan. WhoYork.com is the website for that. The Who York events, this is their third one. We've been to number one and number two with Louise Jameson. Russell Tovey, who was in, he's in Being Human as well as Doctor Who. They're wonderful events. It's a Cafe 50.
Cafe 50,
26.
Nice little place.
And there's flyers at the Gallifreyan table.
Bar, restaurant, very reasonably priced for Manhattan. I had dinner and drinks and still left with money in my wallet, which is nice for Manhattan. It's a nice place with a great guest. It's one night with the Doctor, and it's fantastic. And of course, we'll all be there because it's Sylvester McCoy. We have a Doctor back in New York after 11 years, and that's a wonderful thing. I thank you very much. Coming up in just a couple of minutes is the Harry Potter panel. I know a lot of Doctor Who fans are Harry Potter fans and vice versa, so this is the place to stay. I want to thank DB516, Docking Bay 516, the Star Wars group who have been running Harriman 112 all weekend. They've done a fantastic job, put a lot of effort into this, and donated a lot of time. So, again, thank you very much, and thank you. And apologies on behalf of Lewis and I that our equipment didn't work, but that doesn't sound quite right.
It was the network, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the network. Our equipment was fine. Special thanks to Ken Deep, of course, for taking the show solo while I was working in the background, and also, of course, to Sarah Douglas, who was fantastic in this show. And I can't say enough good things about Sarah Douglas. Now, her role in the Doctor Who Red Button special was not after the 11th hour, as we were led to believe, as she was led to believe. So keep a watch out for the Red Button special with Sarah Douglas. Also, it should be noted that the talking that you hear in the background aren't people in the audience being rude. It's actually me being rude, me and the tech staff. Well, we're not being rude. We were trying to resolve the problem there. And what I did in post-production was remove my mic track and my audio track, but it still was picked up on the on Ken's mic. So it's there anyway. So, and as I said before, our sincere apologies to Tony Lee and James Norton, our co-host. Tony Lee was going to be our guest there as well, our guest via the net from the UK. He's a writer from ID Publishing's Doctor Who Continuing Line, as well as some other Doctor Who special one-offs that he has done as well. And we'll have Tony Lee on the show one way or the other. We'll work it out with his schedule. We'll have him on a studio show where we have a better control over the conditions of everything. And speaking of apologies, I need to make a correction. A few episodes ago, I on our Gallifrey 21 wrap-up show, I had commented on Maureen Starkey, and I think I made the mistake of calling her Maureen Starkey, and it's Starkey, and she's a fabulous artist, and she was one of the artists that had her work on display at the art gallery, at the art exhibit area at Gallifrey 21. I met her a couple years ago at Gallifrey. She's very, very delightful. As I said in that episode, she took it upon herself to give me a personalized tour of the art gallery there, and it's much appreciative, and I do apologize for muffing up the name there back on our wrap-up show. And speaking of wrapping things up, I think that's going to wrap things up for this episode of Doctor Who Podshock. Now, we do have feedback that we'll get to. Please, you can always send your feedback to feedback@podshock.net or call the Doctor Who Podshock public call box at 206-600-6517. It works just like voicemail. You'll call there and you can leave a voice message there that we can use on the show. Once again, the phone number for the Doctor Who Podshock public call box is 206-600-6517. Please take note, that's a U.S. phone number in the area code of 206. Also, in between shows, be sure to visit our website, thegallifreyembassy.org or podshock.net. Both will get you to the same place. There we have Doctor Who news, we have forums, we have polls, we have galleries there as well. As I said, we have forums, lots of interesting stuff going on in the forums that you can participate in. Sign up there is free, and you can be an active member of our website, gallifreyembassy.org or podshock.net. You can also follow us all on Twitter. You can follow Ken at twitter.com/KenDeep. You can follow me at twitter.com/LewisTrapani. And of course, you can follow Doctor Who Podshock at twitter.com/Podshock. So I'll see you all on our live show reviewing the 11th hour. It will be appearing in our feeds shortly. Don't worry if you haven't seen it yet. Just save that episode until you do. More Doctor Who Podshock episodes are coming soon, including extra shows. So on behalf of Ken and James and myself, thanks for listening and stay tuned for more Doctor Who Podshock. Cheers, everyone. You have been listening to Doctor Who Podshock, presented by the fan-run GallifreyEmbassy.org. Doctor Who is owned and trademarked by the BBC. Doctor Who Podshock is not affiliated with the BBC in any way. Come back next time for another exciting and informative episode of Doctor Who Podshock. Doctor Who Podshock theme music by Jeff Smith at thejeffsmith.com. This has been a production of Art Trap Productions and is presented to you by the Gallifreyan Embassy and has been made possible in part by supporting subscribers and donations from listeners like you.